Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look great. What have you been doing?
I found Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe the same active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s for 80 to 90% less without insurance. All of mine shipped right to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's care to #250.
From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
All right, picture this. It's 3:35 in the morning, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. A cop shows up at your door, flashing lights, uniform, badge, the whole nine yards. You open the door because, well, it's a cop, right? Wrong. Dead wrong. Unfortunately, that is the reality of what took place recently in Minnesota and a case that has everyone very, very upset and seriously questioning what do we need to do in terms of security for those in power or for those who may be a target of a madman's violence. We are diving into a case that's going to make you think twice about who you trust and maybe who you vote for. Here's what went down. Vance Bolter, 41 years old, decides he's had enough of exactly what? Democracy, Democrats, people who disagree with him, we're still figuring that all out. But what we do know is this guy went full tactical. We're talking fake cop car, silicone mask that would make Hollywood jealous, and enough firepower to start a small war. And that's exactly what he told his family he did. Dad went to war last night. That's a text he sent after murdering State Representative Melissa Horton and her husband Mark, and pumping 17 bullets into Senator John Hoffman and his wife. Yeah, you heard that right. 17 bullets between them. And by some miracle, they survived. But here's where it gets really twisted. This wasn't some heat-of-the-moment thing where a guy snaps and goes after his local representative. No. This dude had a list, and not just any list. We're talking 45-plus names across six states, Democrats mostly, people who support abortion rights, even had Planned Parenthood locations on there. Think about that for a second. This guy sat down probably at his kitchen table, maybe sipping coffee, and wrote out a multi-state hit list like he was planning a road trip. Governor Tim Walz on the list. Senator Tina Smith, check. Ian Omar, you betcha. Hell, he even had 11 Wisconsin lawmakers on there. Michigan Representative Hillary Scolton had to cancel a town hall because of, surprise, surprise, she made the cut too. We've covered a lot of cases here. We've seen people snap. We've seen crimes of passion. But this, it's a little different than the norm. But unfortunately, we're seeing more and more of it. Josh Shapiro had his house firebombed recently. The governor out in Pennsylvania. You know, the one that still thinks that the murder of Ellen Greenberg was a suicide. Him. This is something else entirely. This is months, maybe years of planning. The guy bought tactical gear from Fleet Farm. I actually just got my data gift certificate to Fleet Farm the other day because it's a hardware store up in that part of the country. And that's where they live, in Wisconsin, though, because apparently that's where political assassins shop now. Fleet Farm. He tricked out his SUV with emergency lights and slapped a police plate on it. And get this, he didn't just have one gun. He had three AK-47s. Three! Was he planning on dual wielding with a backup? Here's a kicker that really gets me. Bolter served on Minnesota's Workforce Development Board with Senator Hoffman for 7 years. 7 years of sitting across the table from a guy you're secretly planning to murder. They probably shared donuts at those meetings, made small talk about the weather. While this psycho was taking notes like, nice family, two kids, easy access to the backyard, the attack itself was like something out of a movie, except it was terrifyingly real. At 2:05 a.m., he hit the Hoffman's house, 9 bullets in John, 8 in his wife, Yvette, who, by the way, was shielding her disabled daughter. Then he's off to the next house at 2:24, but whoops, family's on vacation. 2:36 a.m., he's at Senator Ann Rest's place. But the cops are already there. So what does he do? Moves on to his final target. At 3:35 a.m., Brooklyn Park cops actually see him shoot Mark Horton. There's a gunfight, an actual gunfight, and this guy still manages to slip away. 20 SWAT teams, hundreds of officers, and one of the biggest manhunts in Minnesota history. It takes him 43 hours to find him in a field near his house. But wait, it does get even weirder. While all this is going down, his wife and some relatives get pulled over 110 miles away. They've got passports. They've got cash. They've got weapons. Were they running? Were they in on it? Were they just scared out of their minds? Which is understandable. The cops let them go, which tells me they're either innocent or really good at playing innocent. And through all of this, the planning, the attacks, the manhunt, there's this one line that keeps bugging me, though. And that text to his family, Bolter said he didn't want to implicate anybody. Anybody? Who's anybody? Was this lone wolf really lone? Or are there more people out there with their own lists, their own fake badges, their own twisted sense of justice? The feds are talking the death penalty, which is ironic since Minnesota got rid of capital punishment back in 1911. But it's a federal crime, federal rules, and honestly, when you dress up as a cop and murder people in their homes because you don't like their politics, you're pretty much written your own ticket to whatever the hell awaits you. So let's dig into this mess. What makes someone go from concerned citizen to political assassin? How many more Vance Bolters are out there right now making their lists and checking them twice? And in a country where political violence is becoming as American as apple pie, what the hell do we do about it? To help me sort through this insanity, I've got Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, who's seen her fair share of extremists and lone wolves. Let's see where she makes or what she makes of this disaster.
Well, I think first and foremost, no one can know what is going on inside somebody. Mm-hmm. So outward appearances typically mean nothing. Mm-hmm. Clearly, he was boiling over. And even though that wasn't perceived by the people around him, that's what was happening, because this wasn't just a spur of the moment. This was well planned. He had the vehicle with the emergency lights. He had the uniform that he used all as a ruse to get into these homes to commit these attempted murders and two actual murders, as you pointed out. Mm-hmm. He had a list, a hit list of approximately 70 people. Apparently, abortion was of a concern to him. Clearly, conservative views, and he boiled over and acted out.
Do you think this is something, because one of the big questions right now is, are there other people involved with this guy? Is he just the tip of the iceberg of more people? And I'm not talking about copycats. I'm talking about others who may be just as organized as he is or may have communicated with other people on this. Do you think there's more people involved? He made that message to his family of, Daddy went to war last night and I don't want to implicate others. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's really concerning. Initially, law enforcement has come out and said, no, there's no other people particularly involved. But, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see what if the wife is charged. She had the passports, the money, you know, that is concerning when she was pulled over. Obviously, they let her go. They need much more investigation to see if she was attempting or had harbored him in any way with knowledge. And also that roommate is really sketchy. We'll see if they end up turning anything out there. But this investigation is at its very initial stages. They've got a lot to unpack with everything he's done on social media, all his communications. And I think it's going to be interesting to see, but I'm worried. And I think all law enforcement is concerned about these continued lone wolves, whether it's driving a vehicle into a group of people in New Orleans or somebody like this. It doesn't matter the motivation. These are highly radical people for various political reasons.
And ones that certainly have some energy. I mean, it's not exactly super easy, I think, to go rig up a vehicle to look like a cop car. And I guess, you know, you could probably figure out how to do the outfit in some way, shape, or form. But he was pretty convincing to be able to go that far. What makes it interesting is the extent of the list. And then common sense or just healthy thinking of, are you actually going to be able to pull this much off? Do you think he was thinking that he's going to be able to go out and execute all of these people on his list? Or is that just kind of the fantastical thinking of, you know, an assassin who has serious mental health issues?
Well, you know what it reminds me of a little bit is the situation with the CEO killing, Luigi Mangione, right? They have this grandiose plan. They execute it very well because it is well planned. And then all of a sudden, the planning ends. And that's why they get caught. They don't know sort of their next steps after their initial, you know, acts of violence. So he obviously had these two particular houses targeted, these people targeted. And then it seemed like, okay, now I'm going to go home and see how it all fares out.
Yeah, it's like they get so far and like, okay, we're good. We got the whole thing planned. And then once we execute it, it's great. And we're just going to live our life like there's nothing else going on around us or that we haven't just done this. Are you surprised that they found him alive? It seems, you know, a lot of cases, not necessarily like this, where it's somewhat politically motivated. You know, we find individuals who go off and do horrible things and then they execute themselves. Not him. He's still around. What were your thoughts on that they did get him alive?
I wasn't surprised in that vein. And let me say why. Because it seems like that individuals who do these sorts of crimes and have this agenda that they want to get out there, I think he's going to continue to want to espouse that, even if it's just to the people sitting in his jail cell, right, Tony? He's going to want to continue being sort of this martyr that's going to prison for his views. And remember, at the end of the day, Tony, these offenses are all about the person committing them. It's their chance to be infamous since they could never be famous. That's at the core of who these people are. It's a very narcissistic, look at me, I'm famous type of vibe. If this never got in the news or out there, I tell you, I think these people would go away. But of course, that's not going to happen.
Sure.
And the media was necessary to find him, quite frankly.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. There's a supposedly a religious aspect to him as well. He was described as being deeply religious, volunteered as a preacher, which is, of course, the preacher's out shooting people. yet he committed the murders. Friends say he hated abortion, so that's where the abortion comes into play. We see a lot of this, and it seems that the religious extremism is what gives these sort of folks the permission, if you will, mentally to go in and carry out these things, because they're not doing it for them. They're doing it for God. This is God's greater work that they're performing. At least that's what they end up telling themselves to carry out horrible, horrible atrocities on other people. This case, murdering a wife and her husband, a lawmaker. We've seen a lot of it, though, in recent years. We've seen the Jody Hildebrandt and Ruby Frankie, granted a different type situation where they carried it out basically on their kids. We see it, Lori Vallow Daybell. That was a religious thing as well. Always taking it to an extreme. How are we underestimating the problem of religious extremism in our country? Because there does seem to be a lot of it that is brewing just under the surface. Are we about to see a lot more of it being justified under the name of God to carry out what they believe is a higher calling than even what the law prohibits?
Well, Tony, I like how you couch that as it's almost they have permission, mm-hmm. right, to commit these heinous acts as they're interpreting what God is telling them to yeah. do or what they're doing for a particular purpose. You know, I don't know if it's underestimated. You know, the FBI has always been the most concerned with, typically at the top of our chart, is religious extremists or political extremists that are lone wolves. They are the most danger. They don't have a group of people to answer to. There's no hierarchy. They don't have to be, you know, given permission by the other people they're working around. They get to take all the credit, if you will, and all the glory and not share it. So these are the people that have always been the most concerned, and I guarantee will continue in terms of the FBI's priority list.
Jennifer Coffendaffer, appreciate you breaking that down for us and always being here to help. Always enlightening, always a little terrifying when we realize how these people think. Okay, so let's talk about what we didn't get to cover there, because there's a lot to unpack here, and frankly, some of it's going to keep me up at night too. First off, we can address the elephant in the room. The guy claimed to be religious, deeply religious, even volunteered as a preacher. Not a religious scholar or anything, but I'm pretty sure thou shall not kill didn't come with an asterisk saying, unless they're Democrats. But that's the thing with extremists, right? They'll twist anything. The Bible, the Constitution, their morning horoscope, to justify what they want to do anyway. And what he wanted to do was play soldier. Dad went to war. That's how he saw this. Not as murder, not as terrorism, but as warfare. In his mind, he probably thought he was some kind of patriot, a holy warrior, the guy, the good guy with a gun. Except plot twist, he's actually the bad guy with three guns and a kill list. Speaking of that list, let's think about the logistics here for a second. 45 names across six states. This guy, he had a spreadsheet. Was he using Google Maps to plan the most efficient route? Okay, if I hit Minneapolis targets first and I swing through Wisconsin, maybe I catch a few in Illinois on the way back. It's sick, but it's also weirdly organized. This isn't mental illness in the traditional sense. This is methodical madness. And here's something that really bothers me. The security company he owned was called Praetorian Guard Security Services. Praetorian Guard Security Services. For those who skipped history class, the Praetorian Guards were Roman Emperor bodyguards who eventually got so powerful, they started killing emperors and installing their own. So this guy had zero historical awareness, or he knew exactly what that name implied. Given everything else, I'm betting on the latter. The timeline investigators put together is genuinely disturbing. We're not talking about a few weeks of planning. This guy was doing surveillance for months, possibly years. He knew these people's routines. He knew their homes. Hell, his notes on Representative Hortman included how many kids she had and how many terms she'd served. It's not anger, it's obsession. And can we talk about the fake cop angle for a second? Because that's nightmare fuel right there. We teach our kids to trust police, to go to them when they're in trouble. This psycho weaponized that trust. He knew that at 3 a.m. if a cop knocks on your door, you're going to open it. You might be worried, but you're going to open it. It's genius in the most evil way possible. Also, what gets me is how normal this guy seemed on the surface. Business owner, served on state boards, had a wife, family, employees. wasn't some basement-dwelling weirdo posting manifestos online. This was your neighbor, the guy you'd wave to while mowing the lawn, the guy who'd probably help you jumpstart your car, also the guy planning to murder elected officials across six states. And that message, I don't want to implicate anybody, it's not the words of a lone wolf, or is it? Is it someone protecting others or someone who believes that there are others out there with him in his delusional way of thinking of reality? His family who just happened to be fleeing with passports and cash? Are they other like-minded patriots waiting for their turn to go to war? I'm not thinking so. They're just trying to sound more important than he is, like he's part of some grand conspiracy. Instead of just another angry guy with too many guns. Federal prosecutors are considering the death penalty, which honestly, good luck finding a Minnesota jury that'll go for that. The state that hasn't executed anyone since 1906. Well, I think they might be influenced. But that's probably the point. Charge him federally. Move the trials somewhere else. Somewhere where they're more comfortable with the whole eye for an eye thing. Here's a real question. What do we do about the next Vance Bolter? Because there will be a next one. It's probably some guy right now sitting at his kitchen table, making his own list. Maybe he's religious too. Maybe he thinks God's telling him to clean house. Maybe he's already bought his tactical gear and he's just waiting for the right moment. We can beef up security at the Capitol. We can give lawmakers panic buttons and security details. But at the end of the day, democracy requires accessibility, town halls, community meetings, constituent services. That's how this whole thing works. We can't bubble wrap our representatives without bubble wrapping democracy itself. The Hoffman's surviving gives some hope. 17 bullets between them and they're still here. Say the divine intervention or just dumb luck, but either way, I'll take it. But they shouldn't have had to survive anything. They should have been asleep in their beds, not fighting for their lives because some wannabe holy warrior decided they were the enemy. Look, I don't have answers here. I wish I did. All I know is that when political disagreement turns into hit lists, when going to war means murdering people in their homes, when fake cops are hunting real representatives, we've crossed a line we can't uncross. Van Bolter's in custody now, no bail, awaiting trial, probably trying to figure out how to spin this as some noble cause. But the damage is done. Two people are dead. A family is shattered. Lawmakers across six states are looking over their shoulders. And somewhere out there, someone else is taking notes. What are your thoughts on this whole tragedy? Tell me in the comments section. I'd love to hear it on YouTube. Wherever you're listening to the podcast, be sure to press subscribe as well so you don't miss any of our coverage on this case and the many that we have for you here at True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.